This week, I want to talk about the experience that I've had recently. So you may have seen posts going out that talk about the time when I was doing a presentation whilst in the middle of a school teaching day. I'm not being funny. It was a bit of a weird one, although very much prepared for it. Well done me for making sure that it did not go wrong in general. But this is one of the few times where there has been a crossover of school and business. In most circumstances, if there's something that I want to attend that's for business, whether it's sales training, a conference, I book the day off. And I'm on a 0 hours contract with the school, so I have every entitlement to do that, though in the interest of sort of consistency and being reliable, I can't do that too much because I do have two fixed days agreed. And we are hitting a point where I need those days off more ish than I can show up consistently, or we're getting to that kind of tipping point. So looking at the viability of it, I'm actually going down to one day from May. But on this occasion, this was an opportunity to present for 30 minutes online on Zoom. And it therefore didn't make too much sense to take the entire day off for this to be a free talking opportunity as well. So it wasn't paid, so there's no swing that way. Had to weigh it all up. And in this instance, it also didn't affect any of the teaching. There was no cover lessons. It didn't mean there was any additional work. It happened to be that I had two lessons where I wasn't allocated anything at that point in time, and it could be created around. So I delivered a session in one of the side rooms, and I had a little picture on LinkedIn, Instagram, it's all over the place at the moment, telling stories about this. Because especially when you see the noise on, and I'm going to say it, I think LinkedIn is the worst place for this. You see people talk about how they quit their job and they start a business and how wonderful it is 3 to 5 to 10 years later and how much success they're having. And when you're first starting out, you're like, oh my God, I need to quit my job because these people will just like quit their jobs and start their business. And the reality is that some of them may have done that. Some of them may have been in the position financially to just sack it all off, go straight in and be like, I'm building my business. And maybe they had their experience in the first year and broke even, but they had their savings to get them by, or maybe they did make some profit. What I found is that my methodology was to quit to give me some space to work out what I wanted to do and how I was going to create this new life. That was very much what I wanted to do. I was like, I know I don't want it to be fixed. I don't know what I want it to look like, but I know I don't want a fully fixed timetable all the time. So just quit my job. And then was like, ha, how are we going to make money? And actually, I didn't even worry about this really. I didn't worry about it at all. It became a thought in December, bearing in mind that I was going to be breaking up from the holidays mid-December and would get my last paycheck at the end of December. Yeah, it only became a kind of thought in my head of, I should probably at this stage think about what is going to keep me alive. Because as much as I have faith in the business, what if not? And actually, I do need to pay my bills. Bear in mind, I'd handed my notice in September, so I had plenty of time to work this out. And I had kept an eye on sort of teaching jobs, not with the intention of going into teaching, because that would be a silly move given that I was coming straight out of it and I didn't want to walk straight back into it. But I'd kept an eye on opportunities that had come up. So there was a school nearby that advertised for a cover supply teacher. And it was totally flexible, but it was paying the normal teacher rate. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. Normally you go through a supply agency and you have like a day rate with them, but these guys were employing you direct and offering decent pay scales. So I was like, oh, I can take this one. This is a bit like when I used to be a sound dep, which is kind of like deputy. I don't actually know what it sounds for, but I think that's what it is. Because you go in when someone's ill or sick and you cover the lowest track there is. It could be sound number 2 if there's only 2 people. It could be sound number 4 if there's 4. So it's like, oh, this works. Like, you've just got to be on the books of a few people. So I applied for that and I spoke to my current school at the time. I was like, hey, these guys are doing this. What can you do that's similar? And admittedly, they didn't do the pay as well. And I would argue that union-wise, there was a bit of an issue there, but it didn't come to that very often because I think I did a handful of days, like 3 or 4, and that was it. And then in applying for the new school position with the supply teaching, my old school, when I was asking for a reference, said, oh, could you do that for us as well, please? So I was suddenly on the books of three schools, and that is what I navigated with for the next few years. I predominantly ended up with one because of the demand they had for work. The pay they gave was the best of them all, being out of London, and even the travel didn't make much difference there. And eventually we came to sort of two fixed days a week with the flexibility of the fact it was 0 hours. So suddenly, this industry that I'd left, I was working back in. And other people could say, well, why did you just not go down to part-time? And that had been an option. People had floated it. In fact, the school had asked me when I was leaving. I knew that I needed to cut ties. It's a bit like a breakup, man. It's like, no, we're not going to just have a casual relationship because this is too blurry. It doesn't really set boundaries. I need to leave. Like, I need to go. It needs to be a clean break. And whilst I did supply literally on the first day that I was meant to be off, I think it was, with them, the idea of part-time, bearing in mind I'd been a Key Stage 3 MAS and a head of year, it was going to be incredibly difficult to not be involved, to not be seen in that way, to not feel pressure to step up and really fulfill the old role that I did, but just on like a 2-day basis, even though it wouldn't be my remit, but you know, people would default to you. They'd want to talk to you about the year group. Like, I needed the clean break. And I needed the space as well to work out what I wanted. So yes, I was on the books of three schools, and I found that working 4 days was too much. And I know that that's a privileged position to anyone that still works 5 or 6 days, whether that's in their business or their old job. Like, oh yeah, all right for some. And yeah, it is all right for some. Don't get me wrong, I took a pay hit. I still do. I still am. I exist in this lower income that I experienced in teaching. I was on nearly 50k in teaching. And I think, I'd need to check all of my sort of self-assessment records. I would say it's around like 2025, because you obviously offset expenses too. And on track for something similar, although the business has done better this year, I've also outlaid more. So it's like, come see, come star, swings and roundabouts at this stage. So income generation is on the up, but actual take home remains roughly the same cut. But teaching has kept me alive for this entire time. You know, without it, I wouldn't have my house. I wouldn't have got by week on week. I wouldn't have petrol in the car. I mean, I could have really pushed in on tutoring, maybe. That's the other thing that I have that supports my income. But just because I'm still doing that doesn't mean I'm not taking my business seriously. I've had to learn boundaries such as 4-day weeks don't work, i.e. I don't get much time in the business. And 2-day weeks arguably are a pain in the butt still because they're also consecutive days. So Tuesday, Wednesday at the moment. And you know what? Tuesday's not too bad. You start Monday off, you have a day off. The reality is that when it comes to Wednesday, I'm like, oh, no, wait. Like, I need to get on with the business stuff and I can't be dealing with another day in school. And I have to wait up and be like, well, it is paying your bills, you know, you do need it. But admittedly, it has been a pain when it's come to wanting to crack on with the business. But then I've just had to be more disciplined in the time that I've had, the 3 other working days of a normal week, plus doing some work at the weekends. That doesn't bother me because I have the flexibility to make it work around me. And that's a hard balance when you're thinking, like, I need to pay the bills. And when I was doing it flexibly, I would have weeks where I'd have no days in schools because no one had the work, versus then the next week where they'd want me every single day. And I'd be like, I can't do every day. This does not work. And this kind of unpredictability quite of when I'm going to be in, because sometimes you get the call on the day. Sometimes you get a day or two's advance. So it makes planning, time blocking very difficult if you don't have the fixed element, which is what I eventually had, but still had the honoured flexibility. Now, all of this, talking about this, is to raise the point that it's very normal, or it is a normal condition and circumstance, to be working in your old job in whatever capacity, whether it's, you know, phasing yourself out 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, or going complete cut off and then revisiting the industry, but taking on a different position and different approach. Totally normal when you're building a business, especially if you have no business background and no business connections otherwise. The past few years, yes, I've pivoted, maybe even started a new business, we could say, But I have been upskilling in, I would say, every area of business. The whole thing has required a complete learning curve. And okay, maybe it's like the equivalent of being at university, except it reminds me more of my teacher training year where you're on the job learning at the time. I have had to learn terms, start understanding marketing, understand principles behind sales and get comfortable with that. And I feel like I'm at this stage, I'm starting to really work on that sales skill. That's kind of just keep practicing and applying and experiencing so you get more experience, literally. And now it's kind of moving more into business mindset where we are back at the habit phase, the discipline, and also, more importantly, the motivation to keep going. And I think parkruns have helped me with that, as previously mentioned on this podcast. You know, you can go back and listen to the one about how podcast is helping me in my podcast, how parkrun is helping me in my business. And that's where I think I'm really at. It is, I actually have plenty of skills now. I can't say I'm a master at them all. I think we've got plenty more experiences, plenty more time to work on that. But I have all the things that I need now. There should be no excuse other than iteration, improving, trial and error, working stuff out specific to the business. But I have the knowledge and some of the level of skill to make this work and to really prioritize what needs prioritizing, to go in with a strategy that works, and to start building up these multiple income streams and seeing how it works. But as things currently stand, I'm still on 2 days as I record this. By the time this gets released, probably, I should be down to 1 day. And I fully anticipate that one day, I will be down to 0 days. How soon that is, September's the aim. End of the year is like the second aim. But if not, it's not the end of the world. And even though I'll go down to zero, it might even be that I do go down to zero in September out of interest of the fact that I just can't commit because I don't know what days things are going to be on now. But in my head, every week I go, what day would you like me? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, you give the options around what you're available for. And so I don't work one fixed day, but I won't work one flexible day. In my head, that's how I distribute the time out to, again, keep cash flow coming in and keep that as an option based on the fact that we're not in a secure position with the business just yet. Things are growing, things are going in the right direction, networking is paying off, but there's not that stability yet. I've got to still work on that, and I've got 8-9 months of the year left to work that out, to look at systems, to try some more stuff out. 8-9 months is so much time, but it's also not that much time to still stay in teaching. And it's very, very normal to still stay in your previous industry in some capacity, whether it's just a different job but more flexible, or work from home so it cuts your travel time down, or going down to part-time, to be able to sustain the life you currently live and the commitments that you have whilst giving you some time to focus on your business. Other people have been working a full-time job and working on the business. In fact, I was doing that when I first started for sort of 8-9 months. It was just the fact that I went, I need more time for the business. I want more time for the business. That I went, screw this, let's get out of here. We'll work it out again and build it up from the ground upwards again. But that doesn't make me any less of a business owner. My predominant title, if I want to call it, is, you know, founder. I don't know what point you shift that to CEO when you're the only one in it anyway. I'm the CEO, the CMO, the CFO. don't know when that flicks over to establishing that, probably once you've got a team. But that's where I'm at. And it's, I don't think, unusual. I want to make sure that we're not thinking that the only way to have a business is to sack everything off. Unless you have the funding already secured, that you know it's going to cover a year or 2 years and you're going to be okay, then that's different. But most of us start out at 0-0, understanding we need to get sales and have cash flow coming in to fund what's going on, but not really, really having that set up and not having that system worked out and it being a bit feast and famine. And maybe, like myself, you sometimes have to wait 2 months for a sale. it's understanding that the growth is slow. There's a lot to outlay at the start and there is a lot to learn. So don't burn bridges with your old industry. See if there's a way to adapt it that works for you, and don't feel downhearted or disheartened if you are still in your old industry and not fully in your business, even a couple of years down the line, because look what you have got. I think about the fact that I have the opportunity to go to the Eurovision last year in Liverpool because I was on a flexible contract. Had I been in teaching, I couldn't have done it. And had I fully been in business, I probably wouldn't be making money that would cover such an event. So you have to look at what you do get, even in the transition, even when you're not quite there yet, even when you haven't made it yet.